One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
I'm a professional writer and your resident lyricist.
And I'm a professional musician and your resident composer.
And together we toss up a new song each week.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right. Using our proprietary, patented, popular, industrial strength salad spinner, we randomize over 500 music genres.
And hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topics.
Yep. Tell our listeners what we did last week, Shannon.
Last week, we wrote a Gaijin rock song, thank you, yeah, Patreon donor Vince, about an Australian hat designer, Felicity Brown?
Yeah. Brown, yeah. Flick.
Flick Brown.
Hat Power.
Hat Power.
I love that song.
It was great.
And I love those hats.
I really love the hats. It did make me kind of want to buy a hat. Honestly, if I came out of quarantine with a crazy hat, that's like kind of the best case scenario, right?
Better a crazy hat than a crazy mind.
Yeah, exactly. If I can channel all of my mental instability into my hat purchases.
Everyone's got to have their thing, you know, especially during quarantine. Some people are baking bread. Some people are doing puzzles or like other crafting projects. You can be a, you know, hat hoarder.
Hat hoarder. Okay. I want you to tell me your most productive and most destructive quarantine coping mechanisms.
Oh, boy. Most productive is projects around the apartment, like finishing the wallpaper we did and hanging up photographs and getting my office cleaned out and cleaning out a closet and disassembling a grill, those kinds of things, like wanting to focus on home projects, even if it's at the expense of like work projects, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's both productive and a little bit of a distraction. And then most destructive is drinking.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
But I'm also trying to be productive with the drinking.
What does that mean?
Because I've been taking online wine classes through CorkBuzz.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Every week for the past 3 weeks, I've been doing the blind tasting classes, and I also did a Burgundy class, and this week I'm doing a New Zealand wines class.
That's very fun.
And they're $10 each. Normally they're way more expensive because normally you have to like go in person and they provide you wine and stuff. But this is just like you get to hang out on Zoom with master sommeliers and like pick their brain and stuff. It's great.
But you do have to buy your own wine for it, yes?
Yeah. I mean, technically you don't have to drink along, but why would you not drink along?
Yeah.
And we have wine in the house often, most of the time, anyway, all times, really. So why not drink it?
Wait, can you please tell them what you accidentally did for your first wine tasting class?
Yes. So for the Burgundy class, I went to the liquor store and bought a wine from the Burgundy section of the liquor store. And as I was drinking it, and it was delicious, and as they were describing what the tasting notes of a typical Burgundy were, I was like, this wine does not have the same characteristics as the ones that they're describing. And after doing a little research on the bottle and the label, I realized it was not a Burgundy. It was a Rhone-style wine, which is like right next to Burgundy, and it was just misshelved at the liquor store.
Wow.
But it was good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at that point, like, how mad can you be? You're drinking wine.
And I guess that's, like, part of the mark of a good education is being able to stop and recognize and realize, I'm not drinking what they're talking about.
Yeah, you, like, stop and you look and you're like, oh, this is a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Oh. Oops.
This is from the appellation Mike's from Domaine du Hard.
The terroir tastes just like a bar bathroom floor. What if you just were unabashedly drinking, like, you know, like wine like coolers or like an island breeze or like, you know, the like straw burrito malt beverages, yeah, like while like on your Zoom call with the master sommelier.
Well, the blind tastings, you can volunteer to be a like a blind taster where you know what your wine is, obviously.
Yeah.
But you just like go through the whole tasting grid as if you didn't know what it was and just like describe what's in the glass based on the nose and the palate and everything. And then everyone else in the class has to try and guess what you're drinking, right?
Oh.
So I could volunteer to do that and then be like, this is Yellowtail Shiraz.
Look, I wouldn't be mad if you did that. I would appreciate if someone did that on a Zoom call I was on.
I don't think the master sommeliers would appreciate it.
Yeah, probably.
But maybe some other people on the call.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
What about you? What is your most productive and destructive habits?
Well, productive is definitely, I mean, I'm still, I'm working from home, but outside of actually like continuing to do my job, which is hard sometimes. Uh-huh. I think I've been embroidering a lot, as I can't remember mm-hmm. if I mentioned, but I've been embroidering a lot and have started doing commissions for people.
Productive.
Yeah. And just asking them in exchange for the commission to donate some money to COVID charities. So I've been doing that, and even interacting with one of our vegetarians, Rebecca, who you can come to the produce section on Facebook and hang out with all of us there. But Rebecca and I have sort of gone back and forth with some embroidery like tips and tricks and challenging each other to do like different stitches and stuff. And so that's been really fun, too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And destruction. I mean, like also drinking, but probably, just like balls to the wall baking, where I am like, I will, because usually if I bake something, or if Josh bakes something, we have some other outlet for like getting rid of the baked good, like taking it into the office, or like, you guys would have been coming over probably once a week, and so you would have eaten some
exactly.
of
exactly yeah.
But now it's just like, well, we can't waste this, so
it won't freeze so, well.
Yeah. So yeah, any sweet carb that we are creating is going directly down my gullet. So that's probably not the best habit.
Less than productive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Megan's been baking a lot, too. And she bought yeast the other day. Had to, like, scour the internet for yeast.
It's amazing.
And made some no-knead, as in with a K, bread, in our new Dutch oven that we just got, because Le Creuset's having a sale.
Oh, man.
And it turned out really good.
Yeah, I've heard that no knead recipe has been like kicking around, and it seems like it's a good one.
It's great.
Yeah.
And the Dutch oven made it nice and crusty.
Mm.
I guess our other productive habit is continuing to do Song Salad.
We are continuing to do Song Salad. Hi, hello, everyone. This is still Song Salad.
Sorry we're a little late this week. I was in Connecticut with my family last week, and I have a new nephew.
Mm.
He's great. Everyone's doing well.
That's very exciting and extremely fun. And congratulations to you and your whole family, and especially your brother and sister-in-law, Katie. Another fun, potentially cute thing that is productive is we have started on our Salad Island anthem.
We have.
So stay tuned for that in the next couple weeks, too.
Can't wait. But in the meantime, let's see what the salad spinner has in store for us this week as we fire. Wait, what? Let's see what's in store for us this week as we fire up the salad spinner to generate our genre and topic.
Let's do it.
This week, we're writing a song in the style of...
Chap-hop. About...
Adamsville
A-O-U-W Cemetery.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay, so chap-hop.
Yeah,
should
never heard of
it. Should we just read the first sentence?
Yeah, because otherwise I don't think we're going to get anywhere with chap-hop because neither of us know what it is.
Okay, so here's the first sentence from Wikipedia. Chap-hop is music originating from England that mixes the hip-hop genre with elements from the chappist or steampunk subcultures and stereotypical English obsessions such as cricket, tea, and the weather.
Extremely specific.
So excited about this.
Yeah.
And other than that, don't know anything about it.
Yeah. This cemetery, too. Right. I've never seen a cemetery with a four-letter acronym in the middle of it.
Right. I'm curious what that means.
Yeah. We'll have to find out. But here's I guess, the first sentence of this Wikipedia article. The Adamsville A-O-U-W Cemetery is a historic cemetery located in the Arizona ghost town of Adamsville in Pinal County.
Yeehaw.
That's exciting. A ghost town cemetery. A little redundant, like a desert, but you know.
Little desert cemetery.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm excited to dig into both of these things.
Literally dig into the cemetery.
Hor, hor, hor.
Hor, 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 old chap.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So many layers.
So many layers.
Yeah.
And this... so current, kind of.
Yeah. This rapping music still is...
Play that rapping music.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like there's really just like two or three artists.
Right? I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah. So
maybe, and these, well, two or three like really well-known ones. I'm sure there might be some smaller acts out there, but
yeah. And it's like, I don't know if it was entirely clear before when we read the description of it, but it's funny. Like, it's parody rap.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah.
So the other thing to mention and clarify from this first sentence is that we said it's hip-hop with elements of chappist or steampunk subcultures. Do you want to talk about what chappist means, Shannon?
Yeah, so chappist describes adherents or followers, subscribers to a magazine called The Chap. And it's also a humor kind of like parody satire magazine. It's a lifestyle magazine. It comes out four times a year. The founders were Gustav Temple and Vic Darkwood. And it was founded
great
in
names.
The, I know, really good names. And it was founded in the late 90s, 1999. And they talk a lot about it's kind of like a backwards looking like romanticism of like the days when men dressed well and acted like gentlemen, or as the magazine would say, true chaps.
Right.
So they have, I think probably the best way to get like a sense of the tone of this magazine is to read their, the Chap Manifesto. Do you agree?
Yes, I definitely agree.
Yeah. So the tagline of the magazine is expand your mind, refine your wardrobe, which is great. And I'm not going to read this entire page, and I probably won't actually read like all 10 of these, but there are 10, like points to this Chap Manifesto, and it's how you like become a chap. So number one is thou shalt always wear tweed,
always.
which is great.
And it says under that, no other fabric says so defiantly, I am a man of panache.
Yeah.
And goes on from there.
Yeah. Number two is thou shalt never not smoke. specifically, tobacco out of a pipe. It goes on to say, thou shalt always be courteous to the ladies. And then I liked this little quip underneath it. A gentleman is never truly seated on an omnibus or railway carriage. He is merely keeping the seat warm for when a lady might need it. It's so ridiculous and over the top. This next one. So pantaloon de nîmes is like an old fashioned way of referring to jeans, like, you know, the pants that you wear on like most people on earth wear. But number four is thou shalt never, ever wear pantaloon de nîmes. And I do want to read the explanation under it.
Okay.
The explanation says, when you have progressed beyond fondling girls in the back seats of cinemas, you can stop wearing jeans. Wear fabrics fabrics appropriate to your age, and who knows, you might even get a quick fumble in your box at the opera.
So good.
So anyway, the last one is also one that I think is like nails the aesthetic of this magazine, and there's no explanation under it. It just says thou shalt always cultivate interesting facial hair, especially mustaches, it seems.
Yes. And, you know, the whole website has this kind of aesthetic to it, including the little pop-up at the bottom about the site using cookies. Do you see this? It says, the chap uses cookies to improve your experience. We'll assume this is tickety-boo for you, but you can opt out should you so desire.
Tickety-boo. Amazing.
So this really does feel like the character of the Chappop artist, right? And that's backed up by videos we've watched and songs we listened to by two of the leading performers of the genre, Professor Elemental and Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer.
That's a very good name.
So good. So just to talk about like some of their albums, like Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer has albums called Flattery Not Included, I Say, the Tweed album, Can't Stop, Shan't Stop, There's a Rumpus Going On, like very, very good stuff. Professor Elemental has an album called More Tea, The School of Whimsy, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they both look exactly like you'd expect them to look. So Mr. B is wearing like a trilby hat, and he has like glasses and a very full mustache. And he's wearing like a 3-piece suit and a tie, and he's playing a banjolele, which is a banjo with like the neck and frets. That's like more like a ukulele.
Yeah, it's a short little banjo.
Yeah.
Cute. And then Professor Elemental is dressed like an 18th century English safari hunter.
Yeah, like an explorer.
He's got like the kind of steampunk goggles and the, what's that hat called?
It's like a pith helmet.
A pith helmet, that's what it's called. Yeah. He looks like the hunter from Jumanji.
Yes. I think that, and at one point, which I very much enjoy, these two rappers were in a fake, like, feud with each other, which is very funny. And I don't really, so the steampunk seems to have like slightly less to do with it than I think just this like kind of chap and like the dandy. So like when you refer to like dandies or like dandyism, it's like a older sort of fashion aesthetic, and like it refers to like men who care a lot about their appearance and the way they dress and the way their hair is, you know, styled, and people who are like very like natty and specific dressers are considered like dandies.
I guess it would be like the original metrosexual.
Yeah, that's actually probably a good way to put it. Yeah. So it's, I'm just going to read a sentence from the Wikipedia article about dandyism, because I think it's like a good encapsulation. It's a man who places particular importance upon physical appearance, refined language, and leisurely hobbies pursued with the appearance of a nonchalance in a cult of self.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
So So the other thing we should talk about a little bit is steampunk, just as a subculture. I think the chap hop genre focuses more on this chapist style than steampunk, but I think steampunk is folded in here just because it is a sort of fantastical interpretation of 19th century industrial culture. So both in terms of fashion and in terms of technology. So I know that Professor Elemental, for instance, a lot of his videos are these sort of like science fiction fantasies of him time traveling and stuff, but he's still always got his old-timey clothing on. So I think that's kind of the steampunk juxtaposition that they're talking about here. Ah. But if you talk about Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer, he's more, I think, just focused on the comedy of rapping in an RP accent, about things like good manners and cricket and sophisticated society.
Yeah, you said rapping in an RP accent. RP stands for received pronunciation, and that is like considered the quote unquote standard British accent, essentially.
Yeah. And Mr. B also does some parodies of hip hop classics. He did a whole song called Chap Hop History, which goes through different classic hip hop songs, and he changes the lyrics to be about being a dandy, and does it in his accent. And he's also done like a Straight Out of Compton parody called Straight Out of Surrey. So,
well, let's get to our first example, because that's also a parody of Public Enemies Harder Than You Think. And it's called Just Like a Chap by...
Oh, I didn't even realize this was a parody.
Yeah. I didn't either until I looked at the lyrics more closely, and it was annotated that it's a parody of Harder Than You Think.
Cool.
Yeah, so here's Just Like a Chap by Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer. With great grooming comes great responsibility. Take care in your clothing like a jeweler does filigree. Tweed and silk over the loop by Mr. B. Let's get a million views of chap hop history. Careful stitches like a leg spinner's pitches. Lined in silk if they're pure wool itches. Here's a rule of thumb from the chap hop didact. It's not where you're from, it's where you're hat. Smart, just like a chap. Smart, just like a chap. Smart. So you heard that there's some banjolele in there, and then more of a traditional kind of hip hop beat under it, and then very focused on understanding the lyrics for the jokes to land. Yeah, that's, you know what it really reminds me of is if Weird Al just like narrowed his focus.
Sure. Like if British Weird Al with a very narrow focus.
Yes, exactly. That's the kind of like tone I get from it.
It also reminds me a little bit of Electro Swing.
Yeah, it does. That kind of retro aesthetic.
Yeah, modernization of retro elements. So in this case, it's more of that kind of like banjo-driven vaudeville sound, but set to hip hop beats rather than swing music set to electro beats.
Yeah. Can I read just a couple lines from Just Like a Chap, because I think they're pretty funny?
Please.
So this one little verse goes, "The Noel coward of rap. I'm not blithering. The world of chap is what I'm living in. Spelt backwards means nothing at all. Stop fiddle faddling and come to the ball." I love the idea of the Noel coward of rap.
You are going to have way too much fun writing these lyrics.
Oh, I so am.
Should we listen to the other example?
Yeah, let's listen to one from Professor Elemental.
This is called Cup of Brown Joy, and you guessed it, he's referring to tea. So here's Professor Elemental singing about how much he loves tea. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant's trunk with a couple of monks who are utterly stunk. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The dip between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please, Earl Grey. Yes please, Earl Grey. Yes please. When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam. Lovely.
Sam.
Lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah.
Yeah, you heard the same kind of thing here, which is that very like the early hip hop style of rap, which is like very deliberate rhythms and a focus on the like rhyming. You know, you're not really going to hear these songs, I don't think. Like, they're not rapping the way like Kanye raps nowadays,
right?
You know, it's the very like throwback kind of style.
Totally. So there's a description of Professor Elemental on under this YouTube video. It says, Elemental, the quintessential English fellow, explorer, scientist, exotic dancer, and some might say raving lunatic, banned from 13 of the colonies for unspeakable scientific experiments, yet heralded as something of a deity in a great many more.
Awesome. Like that, like super like affected language is also something that I really like.
And then throwing things in like exotic dancer.
Yes, exactly. So just one other little fun fact about Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer. He also releases songs in the genre of chap step, which is the chap slash like dubstep electronic under the name Mr. B, the Gentleman Selector, which is funny. And it's self and he also has like another character called the Major, which is just more like straight electronica, but it's self-described, quote, terribly English electronica.
He's just having so much fun.
It is really fun. It like, I love that these guys have made a whole career out of this.
If you go to Mr. B, the Gentleman Rhymer's website, it has a list of his concert dates, but instead of saying like concerts, it says recitals.
I really like this.
And then there's like a chap step gift box that you can buy, and the logo is like a happy face emoji, but it's got a big mustache on it. You know,
extremely good. Extremely good.
Very good stuff.
I can't wait.
All right. I think we know enough to put this together with our topic.
I think so, which is going to be hard since the genre is inherently about British-y things. But I think maybe the way in, well, we'll see, you know, the like kind of history of this Arizona ghost town. But maybe steampunk is kind of the way in.
Yeah, I think just the fact that this cemetery is rooted in 19th century history is probably going to be helpful.
I think so.
So let's time travel.
Let's do it. Hey, I love this.
Oh, hey, good.
Yeah, so the Adamsville A-O-U-W Cemetery.
Ow.
Ow.
That's what the ghosts say.
Yeah, I was going to say it's an onomatopoetic transcription of what ghosts say, except also it's like most of the vowels in English. Like there's just no there's no E or I, but I really like that. So let's talk about that, the AU in the middle.
Yeah.
We found out that it stands for the Ancient Order of United Workmen.
Yeah. So basically, after the Civil War, this fraternal benefit society called the Ancient Order of United Workmen formed, and it was a organization that would provide financial support, social support, and like insurance policies for accident, death, burial, sickness, whatever, for any of its members. And they set up like lodges and buildings and cemeteries.
It seems like this was a really common thing for before, like, insurance companies and like credit unions and banks and stuff would like were really like well established. It was like, well, we're a bunch of railroad workers, so we're all going to get together and like pool our money and offer our community these different benefits.
Right.
And so I think it was like it was a way of getting services that either today the government or a private business would provide.
Yeah, for people who I'm sure had a whole lot of nothing after the Civil War.
A whole lot of nothing except like the shared like interest that they had.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the cemetery.
It was deeded in May of 1894.
And it's one of the few things from the original town of Adamsville that still remains because, as we mentioned, Adamsville is a ghost town. And the reason it's a ghost town is because it is located on the south bank of the Gila River in Arizona. And in 1900, so just 6 years after the town was, or I guess after the cemetery was deeded, the river overflowed and wiped out most of the town. And rather than rebuild the town, most of the people moved to the neighboring town of Florence, Arizona.
So there's only a few identified graves.
54. Yeah.
And they were identified by someone named V. Phil Hawkins. Don't know what the V stands for. As a part of his Eagle Scout project.
The V stands for very interested in history. Because, man, this seems not super fun, huh?
If you look at pictures of it, it's just like a plot of desert land. And V. Phil Hawkins was V excited to go figure out what these graves said.
I guess so. Yeah, so there are some that were obviously restored, right? Because the grave markers are like way too modern looking to have been original. But yeah, there are like, it's basically just like a desert. And then there are these like little headstones in the middle of the desert.
Well, my favorite part about it is the entrance photo.
Yeah.
Which you could just kind of like walk around it.
Yeah, so it's just like two stone pillars, but there's like nothing on either side of them really.
You just kind of walk in.
Yeah, not really doing much. Let's talk about some of the people, the notable people who are
the notables.
Here. Well, first of all, the founder of Adamsville, Fred Adams, is buried here.
That's notable.
Yes.
Judge H.B. Summers, who was Pinal County District Attorney.
Yeah, do you think it's Pinal County, Pinal County, Pinal? Or Pinal County?
Probably Pinal.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. P-I-N-A-L. If you know how to pronounce that, tweet at us or something. But
Pinal
County. I like the next guy on the list, Captain Granville Henderson Ory. He was a judge in New Mexico. He was a delegate to the Confederate Congress. He was in the military. He is described as a pioneer hyphen soldier hyphen statesman, which is a lot to fit on a business card. But the
that's what I want on my tombstone.
Pioneer soldier statesman.
Mm-hmm.
Pioneer soldier statesman pianist. But the reason I like him is because I think he has, well, here's the thing. He has a great mustache, but
He also have a beard.
He does have a beard, which yeah. They explicitly say is against the rules.
Otherwise, he's pretty dandy-ish.
He is pretty dandy, wearing his little bow tie.
But we can maybe use him as inspiration.
Yes, I think so. I also kind of, I don't know how I want to use it, but the next guy. Do you want to talk about Felix Grundy?
Oh, do I ever.
Great.
Felix Grundy and his wife, Martha Angeline Hardwick, are buried here. The family was known as the Hardwick Pioneers. In December of 1883, Felix received $500 from the Arizona Territorial Legislature for the first bale of commercial cotton raised in Arizona, and this bale was exhibited at the New Orleans Fair of 1884.
Wow.
I did not know you could grow cotton in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Can you? What did he get lucky?
I don't know. I honestly don't really know anything about this. But I mean, considering the fact that there are not a bunch of like that, Arizona was not historically a place where a bunch of cotton was grown. I would imagine it would be very difficult.
Well, and also the fact that they sent the bale to be exhibited at a fair. Like, look at this, kids.
Yeah,
it's cotton, but not from where you thought it was from.
Can I tell you, so you just said that Felix got paid $500 for this bale of cotton. Can I tell you what that's worth today?
Please.
$500 in 1883, 500 American dollars, is today worth $12,778.
Jesus.
This man got paid $12,800, basically, for one bale of cotton that was then taken to the World's Fair.
And not even used.
Not even used.
As far as we know.
But that's just like, I love that. I love that.
And I love that that became on the notable people list.
Oh, I said World's Fair. It's not even the World's Fair. It's the New Orleans Fair.
The New Orleans Fair.
Oh, boy. But anyway, that's kind of like really there is all to know about this place, huh?
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can we connect this other than through the time period?
Well, the idea of dressing nicely in your like best clothes is kind of at odds with like pioneer life, right? Like if you're living
in also Arizona heat.
Yeah, yeah. But you know where you definitely wear your best clothes to is a funeral.
That's true.
I also wonder if maybe there's an angle with like the ghost town where the ghosts now in the afterlife get to dress up because they don't have like such a hard, hot life in Adamsville.
A hard pioneer life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I like it.
Or maybe it's just going to be about this darling little Boy Scout who who clean, repaired, and identified all these graves.
That could be. Is he a dandy? Would he have like some kind of a Chappist reason to do this?
I'm gonna look this guy up. I'm gonna blow up his whole spot.
All right, V Phil.
Yeah. V Phil, I'm coming for you.
All right. I'm going to put together a fun vaudeville-esque hip hop beat while you figure this out.
All right, sounds good. I don't know what. We'll see.
We always do.
We do.
We always do. I like my beat.
I can't wait to like your beat, but I have not heard it yet.
I can't wait to like your lyrics.
Oh, thank you.
What if you were at a restaurant and you said to the waiter, like, I can't wait to like your food?
I think you would be kicked out for being so scary.
I will have the Caesar salad, and I cannot wait to enjoy it.
I can't wait to have liked my meal here. Weird. Well, you don't have to wait any longer to like my lyrics because I'm going to tell you about them right now.
This is so exciting.
Is it?
I'm just still in that character.
Oh, okay. So I kind of did what we talked about. I couldn't find much information about V. Phil Hawkins. It was very difficult to try to suss out if this person like is a person on the internet anymore.
Well, he was an Eagle Scout in what, 1996?
Yeah.
So that would mean he probably graduated high school around the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're
so
usually
he's
like
probably
70.
In his low 40s, early 40s.
Yeah, yeah. He's 10 years older than we are.
Right. Yeah. So, do 40-year-olds have internet presences? The world
don't
may never
be a
know.
Jerk. Don't be a jerk.
He's the one that bought a computer 5 years ago.
Oh, right. It's that character. We're going back to that guy on YouTube.
It's all connected.
I mean, the real problem is there are lots of men named Philip Hawkins. And so Phil Hawkins and like the V, like it was just hard. This is not interesting. Let me tell you what I did instead. instead of talking about this dead end. So I just wanted, I like the idea of it being from the perspective of the ghosts in the cemetery in the ghost town. So it's like the spirits of the people who lived in Adamsville. And in order to connect it to Chap Hop, so it's not just like an older style hip hop song sung in a British accent for no reason. I wanted them to have the same aesthetic and sartorial concerns that the Chappists do. So they're like very concerned with their appearance, and they are glad to have been freed from this mortal coil so that they could like dress up in the afterlife.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's not like the most direct connection that we've ever had between a topic and a genre, but I did what I could. I also wanted to incorporate, because so many of these songs seem to be direct parodies of well-known hip hop songs. I tried to incorporate just one like really famous lyric and like twisted it in.
Okay.
This. All right. Here we go. Ready?
Yes.
In life, we wore jeans because it's hot out here and the working day is long. In death, however, we've got no fear to put our nicest duds on. Just because we don't have bones doesn't mean we can't look fly. Our spectral forms are fresh as hell as we roam twixt earth and sky. And I tried to like, obviously, like you wouldn't, there's still more, but I just wanted to pause here. Like, I'm trying to also add the sense of like affected and elevated language. Like, I don't think any rap song would ever use the word however or twixt.
Right. Twixt, yeah.
But I wanted it to still feel a little bit like snobbish and elevated.
Sure.
So then we get into, I guess, like the chorus or like the part that we can like that everybody knows and sings along. Here we go. Yeah, there ain't no party like a fancy ghost party, because a fancy ghost party don't stop. We're trapped here for eternity, so it doesn't matter when the beat drops. Say there ain't no party like a fancy ghost party, because a fancy ghost party don't stop. You better dress up to party with us, or we'll haunt you till you drop.
I want to wear a fancy hat to this fancy ghost party.
Yes, we are connecting. We are making a thread from week to week. yeah, so the there ain't no party like a X party, because a X party doesn't stop is like a kind of, at this point, like a trope in hip hop music. And it's originally attributed, I believe, to Tupac, who said there ain't no party like a thug life party, because a thug life party don't stop. But then also, I believe Biggie had there ain't no party like a West Coast party, because West Coast party don't stop. So, but I think it's like, you know, a kind of like meme in hip hop lyrics.
Definitely at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my lyrics.
Wonderful. And I get to sing them all with a British accent.
Yep.
Very proper one. I need to work on that.
Yeah, work on your RP.
Who should I channel? Like, what celebrity should I think of?
I mean, is David Attenborough, like...
Oh.
Is he going to be, like, RP? Like, he has what I consider...
He has what I think of, yeah.
As an extremely proper British accent.
Right.
Or, like, an extremely formal British accent.
Consider the walrus.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think...
Tusks and fur.
I think you gotta go for Sir Attenborough here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll listen to some original, like, Planet Earth videos.
Yeah, great. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I've got a really fun beat that's, like, happy and upbeat and goes with your party theme. So I'm happy about that. I've got the beat itself here, which is sort of like a, you know, it sounds more contemporary just because of the production quality on it, but it's the elements of a traditional hip hop beat with just a simple kick, snare, and hi-hat. So here's that.
Got it. So like what you're saying is that the sounds previously would have just been like lower fidelity because electronic music and like synthesizers were in their infancy back then, or not infancy, but
right. So what I'm using here are sounds for the beat and the other things that I'm going to be incorporating here that will make it sound a little bit more like a contemporary hip hop song, but I'm still using, I'm not going for like a trap beat or something like that. It's still like a classic hip hop style beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it.
Then I've got a synth bass being kind of funky. Here it is.
You know I love a funky bass.
I do it for you.
Thank you.
Then I've got some synthesizer chords in the background. Here's those. I've got a little like recorded vocal accent, which especially in contemporary hip hop is really common. But in classic hip hop, you'd often have like a female voice being like, oh,
yeah, you know? Yeah.
So here's my version of that.
Cool. Love it.
And then finally, the secret ingredient, the banjolele. I've got a banjo here, but I'm just having it play in a higher range. So it sounds sort of like a banjolele.
Yeah, probably kind of difficult to find a banjolele synth in Logic,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that is my makeup of the beat here, and I'm just going to record a couple layers vocally of the different ghosts at this party. I wish you were here with me so you could record some female ghosts.
I know. Make Megan do it.
I'll make Megan do it.
Okay, great. Yeah, she should be honored to be present for your recital of this song.
Yes, exactly.
The idea of a hip-hop recital is so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I'm also going to wait until I can grow out a substantial enough mustache before recording this, so you may hear this episode a few years from now.
I mean, worth it, you know?
That's why we released late. I was just painstakingly growing a mustache.
I think we got to call this Fancy Ghost Party.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it. Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Here is Fancy Ghost Party.
A chap hop song.
About the Adamsville AOUW Cemetery.
By Shannon Ann Scott.
Ow. That's what a fancy ghost says. In life, we wore jeans because it's hot out here, and the working day is long.
It's long.
In death, however, we got no fear to put our nicest duds on.
They're tweed.
Just because we don't have bones doesn't mean we can't look fly.
So fly.
Our spectral forms are fresh as hell as we roam twixt earth and sky.
Oh my.
Yeah, there ain't no party like a fancy ghost party, because a fancy ghost party don't stop.
Don't stop.
We're trapped here for eternity, so don't matter when the beat drops.
Drop it, Dandy.
So there ain't no party like a fancy ghost party, cause a fancy ghost party don't stop.
Don't stop.
You better dress up to party with us, or we'll haunt you till you drop.
Ow.
Get in spectral with it.
This party's to die for.
What a party.
I would attend a fancy ghost party. I would die to go to a party right now. I mean, look, quarantine has not been that terrible to me, and like I can't complain because my friends and family are all healthy and safe. But man, you know, like other people out in the world just would love to see them.
No. I mean, I did just get to spend time with my family, and that was like something that we planned for a long time, and we all isolated before it happened so that we could make sure we were safe enough to be together.
Yeah.
So I did get some interaction, but family is always different from friends in terms of the kind of interactions you have. And most of my time was spent literally throwing around my 2-year-old niece. So.
That's so nice to touch. You touched another person that you didn't live with.
Toddler party is not as exciting as a fancy ghost party.
The fancy ghost party was very exciting. I hope you all out there in listener land enjoyed rapping along to the Fancy Ghost Party.
Check out this Chap Hop because it's really fun. It brought a smile to my face. It'll bring a smile to yours. Just go down a YouTube rabbit hole of Chap Hop. You won't regret it.
Yeah, it's just like good, lighthearted, silly fun.
If you want to pay for your lighthearted, silly fun, is this a bad segue?
No, it's fine.
You could become a Patreon donor of Song Salad, just like Emma, who just joined us as a $5 patron. Thank you, Emma.
Yeah, Emma, thank you so much. We've had like two new patrons in the last little bit, and we really appreciate people finding us, checking us out, and deciding that we're worthy of a couple bucks a month tossed our way. And even if you can't support us financially, we still appreciate everyone who tweets about the show, who tweets at us, who joins us on Facebook at Song Salad Podcast - the produce section. Our Twitter handle is at Song Salad Cast. And if you would like to join our new patrons, Emma and Susie, you can go to patreon.com/songsalad and check out the different giving levels there.
And remember, if you are a $10 and up Patreon donor, you can contribute ideas for our genres and topics in the Salad Bowl every month. And at the end of May, we will be doing another Salad Bowl episode where we will choose a... Is it going to be a topic this time?
It is.
Yeah. A topic from one of our Patreon donors.
Stay tuned also for more details on the Salad Island Anthem that we're going to be crowdsourcing musicians and singers for.
Thank you for telling me what instruments you play. So here's my plan. You want to know my plan?
Yes, I do.
So Shannon's written some lyrics. I've seen them. So that's a good step.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm planning on writing the anthem and writing a simple accompaniment to it that I can then break out into different like instrumental parts that should fit multiple instruments, right?
Okay.
So like I'll write a line that can be played on either a clarinet or a trumpet, and a line that can be played on either a trombone or a bass, you know, that kind of stuff. So hopefully like I'll just be able to send out some like a Dropbox of sheet music, and you can like look at the different parts and see like what fits your instrument. And obviously voices, too, so we can get people to record the lyrics. And I'll send along with that, like, a piano accompaniment track and click track so that you can, like, play along with it and record yourself and send it back to us. So I think that should work.
I think it'll work, too. And I also want to encourage people to not be deterred by their lack of musical abilities
mm-hmm.
if they want to record along with this.
Well, and just be creative in terms of, like, just go off the page, you know? Even if you have a lot of musical abilities, ignore the music. Just play something fun.
Just play something fun. Or you know what? Even if you have a real instrument, maybe you just decide to play a tin can full of nickels, you know? Like, why not? There are no rules in quarantine.
Yeah, borrow someone else's instrument. See what happens.
Yeah.
Find your bliss.
Find your bliss and inflict it on other people. That's what we do.
Get excited. I'm excited.
Me too. And one last big shout out and thank you to Claire Dixon, who is updating our wiki fandom page. That is songsalad.fandom.com. The episodes now are logged as almost current. And thanks, of course, always to Vince, who created the wiki fandom page for us.
Yeah. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And this has been Song Salad.
Eat
your
what? Marmite three. On toast. Mm-hmm.